Now come to order, and may everyone please stand. We'll pledge allegiance to the flag, and please remain standing as the invocation will be given by Luis Martinez, Branch President of the Church of Christ, Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here together as a community this morning. And we appreciate that we have our hands in helping other people. We ask blessings for helping us to guide our efforts to for the benefit of our city, for our city of Modesto. We are grateful for the rain that we have had lately. We pray for more. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that put in our hearts the beautiful feeling of humbleness and become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you as well to think of in other people, to think in the interests of the poor, of the needy, to think in the needs of the community that we serve. We ask you as well for help for all the people present here this morning, that they be able to do this job, that they be able to take care of their families, to be able to take care of our beautiful country. We bless you, and we ask you for all these things in the sacred name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the Redeemer and Savior. Amen.
Thank you. We now have public comment, and we have Robert Bedford wishing to make comment on the bill president.
Morning, Board of Supervisors and County staff. Thank you for your time this morning. My name is Robert Bendorf, and I am the Community Development Manager for the HERO program. If people are unfamiliar, the HERO program is a property assessed clean energy financing program. And we've been actually involved in the County of Stanislaus in the jurisdictions of the cities in Stanislaus County for about 2 years now. So I thought I would just visit and provide a little update on how the program is going. Some of you may have a handout in front of you kind of outlining exactly what we've done, and so I thought I would just kind of briefly go over it. To date, around 2 years, we've seen 874 homes in Stanislaus County being improved due to this financing program that's now available to the residents of within the cities, and that has equated to almost $33 million in energy savings for these homeowners. It's provided a large benefit to the communities as we've worked with every city that's in the county so far. I know that the unincorporated areas of the county are not currently included, but just maybe, you know, look forward to that opportunity someday. Wanted to address a couple things that we've been, you know, doing for the community. We have recently actually adopted consumer protection policies that we are pushing through to the other PACE programs that are actually throughout the state. It is benefits to the homeowners that are everything from consumer protections for the contractor to make sure that the contractor is acting in a proper manner, to disclosure documents that we are sending to the homeowners so they understand the program that they are voluntarily opting into under the certain agreement. And with
Robert, I'm going to interrupt you. Sorry, just real quick. I don't mean to. Sorry, it's hard to tell who's even talking. When you say you've introduced, what do you mean by that? When you've because that's been one of my main concerns as far as.
Okay.
Sorry, while I've got you here, I'm going to get some questions answered.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, when you say you've introduced some legislation, or what are you guys doing to try to help the consumer as far as being from abuses that take place with contractors and things with regard to these things.
So the consumer protection guidelines that I'm referencing directly is something that we've been doing for a long time, but we understand that there are many PACE providers in the marketplace. And so what we've been doing is we created this document actually with CSCDA, and their programs have adopted the consumer protection guidelines and understand the importance. I can definitely leave you with one of these, so you can kind of see exactly what we do. But I mean, the details of it are, you know, making sure that, you know, safe for the elderly, right? Anyone that's over the age of 64 actually gets a follow-up phone call. We do an application process within 15 minutes where we get that homeowner approved. Therefore, it allows the contractor to be sitting there at the kitchen table with the homeowner as they're going over, or they're going over the documents. Now, this is a huge benefit, but there also is, you know, the possibility for confusion. So anyone over the age of 64, we actually reach out to them again for a second time when the contractor has left and they're, you know, kind of under their own roof and they're, you know, in a comfortable place. Over the age of 74, we actually are reaching out to next of kin. And so they're understanding that they are financing something voluntarily, and that, you know, just to make sure that they are under the...
So these are just some industry standards you're trying to put in place and trying to get people to follow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, it's okay. No, I appreciate the question. But, you know, another concern that has been brought forward with PACE is also transferability, saying that, you know, it is on the property taxes, and so transferring it to the next homeowner can sometimes be a cumbersome process. HERO specifically has been actually contractually subordinating our assessments for a little over a year now, and that's provided a great benefit to the municipalities that are taking part with us. Currently in Stanislaus County, we're seeing a 98.5% transferability rate, where only one homeowner that was refinancing his home back in 2014 chose to pay off the assessment. And everything else since then has moved forward with no problems. So I just wanted to provide that little bit of an update. Essentially what we do is we forfeit the rights to foreclose and forfeit rights to proceeds to that first mortgage when we do that in the case of a sale or a refi, which makes the mortgage companies very happy, and my wife, who works in the mortgage industry. Currently, we have 23 homeowners that are actually in the unincorporated area of Stanislaus County that have shown interest in the program. They're actually waiting for essentially an email that once the program is alive in the jurisdictions of the unincorporated area that they would sign up with HERO. So just wanted to provide that brief update. My card is attached to the printout that you can see, and I look forward to speaking to every one of you moving forward. Thank you.
Robert, can I ask one question too?
Yeah.
How many counties are you exclusive? Because counties have the ability to allow essentially a provider or many providers. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have exclusive agreements with counties or cities?
No. No. We actually like the open marketplace. So we believe in competition. And so for example, the people that we've worked with, the CSCDA and their programs, we have in most cases opened the door for PACE and then invited them in to increase the competition that's in the area.
In case everyone doesn't know, Robert's dad is the CEO of Yuba County,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yuba County. Thanks, Robert.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We also have a request from Mary Lamella. Is that pronounced properly? If it is, I...
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Excuse my nerves. Good morning, Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors. I am requesting a survey of the north side of Highway 132 Yosemite Boulevard in LaGrange. According to my deed and tax records, which I have provided for you, I am being taxed on 41.3 feet across. My neighbor to the east is contesting property lines and requesting my husband and I to pay all survey fees in order for us to obtain any permits. The neighbor to the west has obtained his own property line since our house fire in December 2014, and his house is currently pending sale. This dispute has held up our process of us getting our permits to remodel our home after the damage. We cannot move forward, and the cost is extensive. Therefore, I am requesting that the issue of Stan County property lines be put on the agenda to resolve the town of LaGrange historic property disputes. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Can I respond?
There's another, you want to wait until?
Yeah, I want to respond to
okay, fine.
Mary. Mary, thank you for coming in, and we're aware of this. Thank you very much for coming here today. We're going to get our whole grouping together and planning department, public works, and we're going to try and address this. I know it's a big problem up in LaGrange, not just for you, but it will be for many other folks. So appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you very much.
Also request to speak is Howard Hoover.
Hi, I'm Mary's dad. We're a previous owner of that property at 30037. And I know that you're aware, and I'm very happy that you are aware of the situation there. It just seems to be intensifying as time goes on. Property taxes have been paid always on that property, and it was actually, that home was put in there in, I believe, 1910, and the neighbor's property wasn't put in there. The one that's contesting was in 1915. So in other words, this property has been there for many years, and all of a sudden, all of this contention, and all they're doing is remodeling their home from the fire damage. This was an existing property, existing home, has the walls up, has part of most of the roof still intact. So we're so happy that it's come to your attention, and we pray that it will progress and things will start rolling for them so they can get on with their lives, because they're living with us. So thank you very much.
Okay. It never ends.
Does anyone else have any public comments at this time? If not, we'll now go to consent calendar, and we will be pulling C1.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd like item C1 pulled.
Okay. Any else? Anyone else? Before we do that, though, I want to, before the board takes action on consent calendar, does anyone in the audience wish to make a comment or have a question on any matter on the consent calendar? If not, I'll bring it back to the board.
You need a
motion. Motion to approve consent calendar, less item C1.
And I will second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Now we will go to C1.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I'm pulling C1. I'm going to abstain from this vote. This is setting a public hearing for an item coming up for a property out, Fruit Yard Restaurant. My ranch is near there. While it's not within the legal conflict of interest, the project has a sound element to it, and the sound may travel far enough to my ranch. And so under the abundance of caution, I'm going to abstain from setting this public hearing. I'm also going to abstain from the item when it comes forth on the date that we, May 3rd, that we put on the agenda. So I'm going to step down from this item.
Okay, thank you. May I have a motion, please?
Motion to approve.
I'll make the motion to approve staff recommendations.
Second.
Second. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passed. We will now go to B6, which will be from the consideration approval of mid-year financial report. Jody? Jody Hayes, pardon me.
And team. All right. Good morning, Chairman Monteith, members of the board, CEO Risen, Council Doreen. Very pleased to be with you this morning to present to you your mid-year 2015-2016 budget report. Joining me in today's presentation are Deputy Executive Officers Cindy Tomlinson, Patrice Dietrich, leader of our budget team, and Management Consultant Patrick Cavanaugh. Very happy to have Patrick joining us for today's presentation. The purpose of our mid-year budget report is to inform the board and our public of the county's financial status at the midpoint of the fiscal year, but also provides us an opportunity to discuss some of those emerging budget issues that are going to shape our future direction in the coming years. The annual budget provides our departments with a plan to support the community, our collective commitment to action and service. Our mid-year is the time for all county departments and the Chief Executive Office to ask if our plan is working. Do we want to change anything in our plan? Do we need to make any adjustments to support our service commitments? Today's presentation will provide a highlight of those answers that we have gathered from your county departments, as well as staff and the Chief Executive Office. We have many good things to report to you regarding services being provided within our community today and how our original budget plan has come to action within the first half of this fiscal year. So right up front, we're pleased to report to you that the overall financial health remains strong for the county. Today's report will highlight some of our traditional sources of financial support, including the benefits of our improved economy and the overall economic health of our community. These improvements are well within the range of outcomes we would expect in an improving economy and provide further confidence that our traditional long-range financial planning remains on track going forward. The mid-year report also highlights other areas of financial growth not contemplated at the start of this fiscal year. We are very pleased to report that our Community Services Agency has continued to deliver positive trends and performance outcomes, which first and foremost demonstrate the improved well-being of families and children in our community, but also have the added benefit of redirecting approximately $1.2 million in discretionary resources back to the general fund. This is the true definition of a win-win for our community, and we're pleased to bring it to you today. Another good news story beginning to materialize in our financial reports is a significant increase in local funding resulting from efforts by local elected officials and state representatives of past and present to advocate for an end to negative bailout, a long-standing financial consequence to our local community resulting from the implementation of Proposition 13. This achievement represents the largest portion of our overall increase in discretionary revenue in the current year, and we are very pleased to report that a portion of this ongoing resource has now arrived in the form of real dollars kept here at the local level. We will plan a full reporting on each of these positive developments with the development of our 2016 and 2017 proposed budget, providing an opportunity to integrate these resources into our long-range financial planning and consideration of future goals and strategies in support of your stated priorities. Overall, our strong financial position supports the sustainability of service levels contemplated in this year's final budget plan, while also supporting the potential to consider additional future strategic investments in public services. Some of the highlights of the current year include ongoing support for our public safety restoration program, first initiated and approved by your board at this time last year. This program includes an ongoing commitment to numerous public safety programs supported by 39 new full-time positions and up to $4 million in funding in the current year. The mid-year budget includes a number of additional recommendations to further support improvements in public safety, including strategies to increase the rate at which we fill vacancies going forward. Our long-range financial plan continues to support up to a total of 74 positions and $8 million in public safety restoration funding by fiscal year 17-18. The recommendations before you in this mid-year budget report will further support our public safety partners in their efforts to expand services in current and future years as contemplated in this multi-phased approach. We are also mindful of the extensive planning and operational considerations underway to support the modernization of our adult detention operations. This major milestone in public safety services presents us with tremendous opportunities to improve the safety of all individuals housed or working in these critical facilities, while also bringing forward new programming to support our integrated public safety system. You will hear much more about how financial planning intersects with this project in the coming months when those items come before you on the board. The mid-year report also highlights several other strategic service improvements developed through the work of our county departments. Our community will benefit from planned improvements in our library and park system, as well as our continued support for the Focus on Prevention initiative through the addition of resources tasked with facilitating the energy of our community into meaningful actions to curb homelessness in the future. This is one of many examples of the long-term financial planning driving strategic services and targeted actions within our community. We're also very pleased to bring a focus in today's presentation to our efforts to leverage one-time funding resources into ongoing improvements and efficiencies for our department operations and the public we serve. We have set aside over $3 million in total funding to challenge county departments to identify new ways to improve the use of technology and improve our services to the public. The mid-year budget report includes our recommendations for awarding the initial portion of this funding and begins the process of moving more customers online instead of in line. Your county government is doing many good things, and we are pleased to share some of those highlights with you today. Looking forward, we are working closely with county departments to develop several new initiatives to support our desire to continuously improve our process for financial planning and budget reporting. You will begin to see these changes in the next year with full implementation plan for fiscal year 17-18. These efforts are intended to further align your vision for the future with our fundamental guiding principles, which include our core objective to deliver the highest level of community service as a return on the investments we receive from the community through all our many funding streams. These efforts are not just a reflection of service improvements designed for an improved economic climate, but will also prove useful in navigating the organization through any slowdown or downturn in our economy. History tells us that such a change is inevitable and certainly well within the horizon of our long-range financial planning. Although none of us look forward to the next economic downturn, we know that our commitment to long-range financial planning will serve us well, not if, but when that challenge confronts us once again. Before we get started with the rest of today's presentation, I do want to spend a couple moments to just thank the many, many people that put together an extensive mid-year budget analysis like this. Starting with the Board of Supervisors and your leadership and support for the work that's being done on behalf of the county departments and the Chief Executive Office, CEO Risen, and the rest of the CEO leadership team that supports this process. I also want to thank our many county department heads who just about everyone is here today to support the recommendations before you in today's mid-year budget report and to answer any questions that you might have, and their budget staff, many of whom are here today as well. They all work very closely with the budget team and the Chief Executive Office, who I also want to thank to put together the report before you. I also want to take just a special moment to thank Patrice Dietrich for her leadership in the budget process. Many tireless hours under Patrice's supervision to get this document before you today, to not just get it in print, but to deliver the level of confidence that we traditionally have brought to this board and to the community related to our budget planning. Last thing I want to mention is that this week, in the midst of working in two or three different budget cycles at the same time, we had a moment to pause and celebrate, and we received notification from the Government Finance Officers Association that we were awarded the Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for our 15-16 budget. This is the 13th year in a row that we have received this, and we've done all that with no performance-enhancing drugs. So this is a milestone, probably a record for us, and we're very, very happy. There's a long tradition. A lot of folks in this room have led this group, including CEO Risen in the past, carried on this tradition. It's very humbling for us to be able to do this as well. So thank you all very much. And I'll go ahead and turn the presentation over to Patrice to get us started with the rest.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning. I always follow Jody with his visionary statements of our direction and the success we see in the future. And I'm going to take us down into the nuts and bolts now of the mid-year financial report. We'll start with some summary financial schedules. And first, before you on the screen, are our mid-year goals: to provide an update on the current status of the county budget, to evaluate current revenue and expenditure patterns for county program operations for the period of July through December 2015, and then to recommend necessary adjustments to department budgets since approval of the first quarter report.
Patrice, there you go.
Thank you. They say I'm soft-spoken, and my family would totally disagree. So the goal here is to ensure that our budgets are on track and within approved spending authority. And last, to identify the current status of challenges and opportunities for the county organization. Consistent with past practice, the 2015-2016 mid-year financial report as presented to you today is organized within the seven Board of Supervisors priorities displayed on the screen. Our analysis at mid-year begins with a look back to the 2015-2016 adopted final budget, which is depicted by priority area on the pie chart. Your board approved the final budget on September 15, 2015, with total appropriations or expenditure authority of approximately $1.097 billion. Throughout the mid-year financial report, you will notice that we analyze and refer to the operating or legal budget. In addition to what you approved as part of the adopted final budget, the operating budget includes any spending authority carried over from last year, noted as prior year appropriations, along with any adjustments approved as part of separate Board of Supervisor agenda items through December 31st, 2015. Combined, the final budget and all these adjustments represent this operating budget. It totals to $1.125 billion prior to any recommended mid-year adjustments. The table before you summarizes the appropriations by fund type, beginning with the adopted final budget in September of $1.097 billion, through the operating budget as of December 2015 at $1.125 billion. The recommended total mid-year adjustments are depicted in the red oval at $10,944,773, which will increase total budget appropriations at mid-year to $1.136 billion. The majority of this recommended increase is in the general fund at $9.9 million. The general fund is balanced at mid-year, as displayed here on the slide. Department appropriations are recommended to increase by $12.6 million. This is offset by a transfer from appropriations for contingencies of $2.7 million, resulting in net total appropriations increasing at the $9.9 million figure. Included in this amount, and also in department revenue forecast at $11.1 million, is $10 million in vehicle license fee realignment, VLF we call it, revenue, which is pass-through funding that comes through the general fund and is provided for social services programs administered by the Community Services Agency. Adjustments to total appropriations and departmental revenue will result in a $1.2 million reduction in net county cost. In addition, we are projecting an increase of $9.9 million in the discretionary revenue budget, which combined with the savings in net county costs will reduce reliance on the general fund balance by $11.1 million. It's the little circled number there. This chart shows the prior 4-year comparison of general fund discretionary revenue since fiscal year 11-12, along with the projected discretionary revenue recommended now at mid-year for 15-16. Those are the green columns. The annual budgets for each of these years are reflected in red columns, and the actual revenue posted at mid-year each year are the blue columns. You can see here that actual revenues for the first 6 months of 15-16 total to $61.1 million. We do want to note that for a fair comparison, there are several years that had one-time revenue, 3 years that are marked with a red bar to show you where the revenue would have materialized if not for that one-time revenue. At mid-year, we are recommending an increase of approximately $9.9 million, up 5.5% in the discretionary revenue budget from $178.8 million to $188.7 million. This is largely due to the elimination of the negative bailout of property tax that Jody described, which is projected to be an ongoing benefit to the county of approximately $6.2 million. The remainder of the increase, approximately $3.7 million, is comprised of a significant increase in the actual receipts of SB 90 mandate claim revenue, not traditionally budgeted, along with one-time revenues of pre-2004 SB 90 interest payment and sales proceeds from the medical arts building that have been assigned for future support of the veterans facility. Net County Cost Carryover Savings Program continues to be a positive benefit to our county budget process, and this chart shows the balances for fiscal year 12-13 through 15-16, along with a projection of the carryover savings available for 16-17. Departments have relied on this net county cost carryover savings through the recession years, and the recent trend indicates that the savings will continue to decline as they rebuild and expand operations and services with your board support. Departments are projecting to use $1.8 million of the total $5.3 million allocated in the current fiscal year. And we will continue to evaluate this and come back to you at third quarter with an update, as analysis of prior year projections suggests that we may perform better and have maybe even a little more money than this $3.5 to assist in balancing 16-17. We'll give you that update in the third quarter financial report. As mentioned earlier in the presentation, the adjustments recommended in the mid-year financial report will reduce reliance on general fund balance by approximately $11.1 million. As a result, the ending 15-16 fund balance for the general fund is now forecast at $127.5 million. This is a conservative estimate and assumes full utilization of all budget authority by year end. I want to point out that the vast majority of this $127.5 million is set aside in categories within the general fund that are non-spendable, restricted, committed, or assigned for Board of Supervisors specific projects. The beginning fund balance for all funds on July 1, 2015 was $441.9 million. Adjustments to fund balance from prior year encumbrance carryovers and Board of Supervisors actions since the adopted final budget total to $68.8 million. Combined with the mid-year 15-16 recommended budget adjustment of $11.2 million, the projected fund balance on June 30, 2016 is $384.3 million across all funds. And at this time, I will turn the presentation over to Patrick, who will report on the new technology innovation program and begin highlighting the mid-year recommendations by priority area.
Good morning. The Technology Innovation Program has the broad overall goal to move the county's customers online from inline. To help fund projects that will begin moving the county towards this broad goal, $1 million of appropriations for contingencies was included in the fiscal year 2015-2016 adopted final budget. In addition to the $1 million budgeted in appropriations for contingencies, there is $2.25 million in general fund balance assigned to automation, which can be used for information technology projects. At inception, first-year funding will focus on technology upgrades and automated efficiencies in business operations, with future funding opportunities to shift towards improved systems in support of external customers and online public access. Soon after adopted final budget was approved in September, departments were provided with an application materials and were given approximately 2 months to submit their project requests, with a deadline of November 2015. During the month of December, Assistant Executive Officer Keith Boggs, SBT Director Marcy Cunningham, and I reviewed the applications, with interviews occurring in early January. I would like to mention that each project which is funded must adhere to strict reporting requirements and provide status reports on a semi-annual basis. These status reports will be included as part of one of the financial reports provided throughout the year. In November, 9 departments and 1 JPA submitted 21 applications for funding. 2 of the applications were withdrawn. The Alliance WorkNet withdrew its application as a result of anticipated changes in light of the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, and the Chief Executive Office Operations Division withdrew a project related to its budgeting software, which will be funded by a different source sometime in the future. This leaves 19 applications for consideration, which we have grouped into department-level projects, for which there are 13, and enterprise-level projects, for which there are 6. Department-level projects are projects that essentially touch just the department implementing the project. They either create a better, more efficient customer experience, or they will improve internal department efficiencies. Enterprise projects span over multiple departments and can either improve customer service or internal efficiencies. In all, 19 projects are being recommended for funding, comprising of 8 departments and the Animal Services Agency. Of these 19 projects, it is recommended to fund 17 of them, totaling $947,000 with IT innovation funds. 2 projects, the public-facing interactive GIS system upgrade project and the electronic agenda management project, totaling $285,000, are recommended to be funding with a portion of the $2.25 million fund balance assigned to automation. Included in the recommendation are 3 projects for Animal Services, Joint Powers Authority, of which 2 are customer-focused. They will be working to develop an interactive voice response system that will allow customers to pay their pet fees via the phone and develop an online customer access portal to give citizens access to their pet records from the comfort of their own home. Additionally, the third project is to deploy a new web-enabled version of their Chameleon software that will streamline operations out in the field and in their facility. We're recommending these projects be funded at 61% of the project costs, as this is equal to the county's share of agency contributions. Additionally, we want to highlight the library self-checkout project. The self-checkout stations will enable customers to check out materials such as books, magazines, and movies. The checkout stations can be used for expanding numbers of other transactions, including renewing materials, placing materials on hold, paying fines and fees, and paying for the cost of printing, all using cash or credit card. These stations have found to be helpful in increasing service hours, reducing lines at the checkout desk, and improving service to users. If approved, the funding will go towards installing units at many of the smaller library branches across the county. Finally, Behavioral Health and Recovery Services is implementing a pilot health information exchange program in conjunction with the Health Services Agency. This project will support care coordination between county primary care clinics, county behavioral health clinics, and other provider organizations serving Stanislaus residents. We will begin the mid-year summary of adjustments in the priority area of a strong local economy, in which an overall increase of $623,588 in appropriations is recommended. The overall recommended increase in appropriations for the library is $623,588, funded by $526,559 in estimated revenue, $125,148 from appropriations for contingencies, resulting in a decreased use of fund balance in the amount of $28,119. Of this amount, $463,000 is for staffing-related expenses, material e-resources, supplies, repairs, and safety improvements, all funded by increased library sales tax revenue and other department revenue. $125,148 is for the increase in appropriations is for the technology innovation project self-checkout kiosks, which will be placed at the multiple branches across the county. This project will be funded by appropriations for contingencies. And $35,000 will be added to fixed assets to repair the Salida Library circulation room flooring and to purchase a new security gate for the Modesto's Library back dock area. It is recommended to restore one unfunded librarian two position. This position is requested for the Children's Library Division of the Modesto location and is needed to provide a greater level of professional service and continuity to families visiting their Modesto library. This position will be funded with library sales tax revenues for the remainder of the fiscal year 2015-16 and ongoing. There are no recommended budget changes for the strong agricultural economy heritage priority area. In a well-planned infrastructure priority area, an overall decrease of $137,067 in appropriations is recommended. For environmental resources, a decrease in estimated revenue and appropriations is recommended due to a shortage of part-time staffing resources assigned to the California Department of Public Health Safe Drinking Water Program. Funding for this program is available in the department's fund balance as deferred revenue and will be budgeted when staffing is restored. The underground storage tank program oversight responsibilities will shift to the state due to the decreased number of sites in Stanislaus County. This program budget will be closed out at the end of the fiscal year. In Parks and Recreation, it is recommended to increase revenue and appropriations for repairs to the damaged Kiwanis Picnic Shelter in LaGrange, which will be funded by insurance reimbursement and an increase in department estimated revenue. Additionally, an increase of appropriations is recommended for the installation of new fuel pumps at Modesto Reservoir that will be funded by departmental fund balance. A transfer in appropriations within the fixed assets accounts to purchase four large mowers to use at the community parks, and a technical adjustment is recommended to transfer appropriations from fixed assets to an intra-fund account to correct a budget submittal keying error. For Public Works, it is recommended to increase appropriations by $143,815 for four technology innovation projects, the interactive GIS system, survey drone, Acceler right-of-way management system, and tablets for field work, funded from appropriations for contingencies. At this time, I'll turn it over to Patrice, who will take you through a safe community and efficient delivery of public service recommendations.
Within the board's first priority of a safe community, the mid-year recommendations total to an increase of $2.6 million, funded by an increase in estimated revenue of $1 million, along with a use of fund balance, which will require an increase in net county cost of $1.5 million, funded through transfers of appropriations for contingencies. At mid-year, we remain committed to the Public Safety Restoration Program. This chart displays each phase of PSR, as we call it, starting with the phase one spending of up to $4 million approved during last year's mid-year budget report. Of the 39 original positions approved by the Board of Supervisors in phase one, 21 full-time positions are currently filled. 5 extra help positions are also filled, but not counted within the 39 authorized full-time positions approved for PSR, although funding is provided for those extra help salaries as included on the public safety restoration table in your mid-year report. As of this time, 26 positions and one-time support costs require the use of approximately $1.9 million in PSR funding, plus leveraged funds available from department savings and other non-general fund revenues in fiscal year 2015-2016. As a reminder, funding for the public safety restoration program is held in department contingencies until the positions are actually filled in order to align funding with the service enhancements. Funding for phase two and phase three will be considered through future board action. For the Chief Executive Office of Emergency Services Fire Warden, it is recommended to increase appropriations by $98,150 to support the Technology Innovation Project Emergency Staff and Community Notification System Implementation. This is a cloud-based system designed to support internal and external communications for all government functions. The primary use of this system during initial implementation will be to support communication for emergency operations. This project will be funded by transfer from appropriations for contingencies. For the district attorney, it is recommended to increase appropriations by $501,221 and decrease estimated revenue by just under $21,000, funded by a transfer of $520,985 from appropriations for contingencies, which will result in the increased use of department fund balance of $1,221. Included within these adjustments are the recommended appropriations of up to $134,400 to fund the DA's Technology Innovation Program projects, which are intended to improve efficiencies through new data e-data file system and for enhancements to systems supporting DA staff in the courtroom. Additionally, the department is requesting funding for costs that were not included as part of the 2015-2016 zero-based budget. These requests are for costs that fluctuate within the department due to the complexity of cases currently in the court process. Last, the department is requesting technical adjustments in three of their grant funds. These adjustments are due to a change in the award amount from the state other than what was originally budgeted. For probation, it is recommended to increase appropriations by $395,828, funded by transfer from appropriations for contingencies. Included within this recommendation is the increase to appropriations of up to $173,150 to fund probation's technology innovation program projects, which include implementation of advanced document scanning project, expanded e-payments, and integrated criminal justice system ICGIS mobile design. This information technology project will facilitate improved access to probation ICGIS for probation officers in the field and in the courtroom. The department is requesting an increase in appropriations for one-time retirement cash-outs, which are recommended in the mid-year report. These retirement cash-outs are not included in department budgets as part of the 15-16 zero-based budget, and instead are set aside in appropriations for contingencies to be transferred to departments only when actually incurred and needed for budget balancing. For the sheriff, it is recommended to increase estimated revenue by just under $1.1 million and appropriations by about $1.6 million, funded by a $498,087 transfer from appropriations for contingencies. In the Administration, Detention, and Operations Division, the department is requesting an increase in appropriations for retirement and compensatory time cash-outs per current MOUs. These appropriations were not included in the department's zero-based budget process and are recommended at this time. In the Administration Division, it is recommended to increase estimated revenue and appropriations due to an increase in concealed carry weapon fees and civil process fees, and in addition, for the purchase of an upgrade to the telephone system. In the Operations Division, it is recommended to increase estimated revenue and appropriations due to the COPS technology grant, or Community-Oriented Policing Services, the Avoid the 12 grant, and Stanislaw Drug Enforcement Agency funding. The Sheriff's Department has identified an increase in revenue due to training, academy, and class fees. Also in the Operations Division is a request for an increase in estimated revenue and appropriations due to mutual aid in connection with the Trinity and Butte fires. The mid-year recommendation includes the purchase of workstation equipment, radios, monitoring equipment, a fuel tank, and software for the property and evidence technicians. Due to the timing of hiring positions, the department has experienced one-time savings in funding available through public safety restoration, which may be used to support unanticipated costs related to the implementation of new programs and services approved through PSR. The department is requesting to purchase flooring, equipment, and investigative tools and radios for the detectives unit, The department is additionally requested, and we are recommending, to double fill up to 7 deputy sheriff positions for up to 3 months each. This request is for the remainder of this fiscal year and through 2016-2017. Funds for this request will also be used with the public safety restoration one-time savings.
Can I ask a question? I'm sorry. While I'm thinking about it, we have empty positions. Why do we need authorization to double fill when we have plenty of empty positions on the double filling of the deputies?
I think it's actually a requirement of our personnel rules.
Is it? That answers it. Thank you.
Yeah, just Jody. Real quick, we actually just want to front more deputies into the academies. In
Absolutely.
Order to do that, we need the positions.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Jody. Also for the sheriff, in the staffing category, it is recommended to add 1 new deputy sheriff position in contract cities to serve as a school resource officer for the city of Patterson. It is also recommended to add 1 new community service officer position in contract cities to be housed in the Patterson outstation. These positions will be funded by the city of Patterson and have already been approved by the Patterson City Council. The recommendations in the MIDGE report for efficient delivery of public services include increased appropriations of $7,998,183, funded by an increase in estimated revenue of about $10.3 million, a decrease in net county cost of $2.8 million, and an increased use of departmental fund balance. The use of up to $2.7 million transferred from appropriations for contingencies is included and recommended as described in each of the priority area presentations this morning. For the assessor, technology innovation funding of $115,000 is recommended for scanning and GIS mapping projects. Further, an increase in appropriations is recommended for termination cashouts. Again, these appropriations were not included as part of the zero-based budget and are recommended now at mid-year. A technical adjustment to support prior year GIS charges that were posted in the current year is recommended. And last, to increase the assessor's budget by $27,227 for extra help staff to address a backlog of approximately 7,000 deeds that require processing by June, for a total increase of $92,919 to be funded from appropriations for contingencies. An increase in appropriations of $40,302 is recommended to support staff costs associated with the early implementation of the 1% salary increase and the purchase of a fixed asset folder sealer to process mandated forms. These costs are offset by an increase in revenue of $42,000 in revenues, resulting in the decreased use of $1,698 in net county cost for the auditor controller. The Chief Executive Office, it is recommended to increase appropriations by $225,000, funded from appropriations for contingencies for the technology innovation project of a countywide electronic agenda management system. It is also recommended to restore 1 unfunded Manager 3 position in operations and services. This position will play a critical role in coordinating and ensuring cross-sector alignment of activities and strategies across the county departments and with the Stewardship Council to reduce homelessness in Stanislaus County. This position will also lead efforts to develop shared measurement systems to assess the achievement of the desired results. The position will be funded equally by Behavioral Health and Recovery Services and the Community Services Agency. Chief Executive Office County Operations includes a recommended increase in appropriations of approximately $6.7 million, increase in estimated revenue of $10 million, resulting in savings of approximately $3.3 million in net county cost. The primary contributors to these adjustments include the transfer of $2.7 million from appropriations for contingencies to support department requests recommended to you this morning. It's also recommended to increase appropriations and estimated revenue by $10 million to reflect the increased vehicle license fee realignment funding pass-through for social services programs administered by the Community Services Agency. Also in CEO County Ops, the budget includes the North McHenry Revenue Sharing Agreement with the City of Modesto. At this time, estimated payments to the city based on that agreement will be higher than originally budgeted by $655,000. Also, the HSA long-term deficit has been fully repaid in the current year, resulting in a decrease in appropriations of $468,701. And last, within mandated county match, a reduction of $1.2 million is recommended. As previously discussed, this is a result of reduced CalWORKs and foster care extended foster care caseloads and grant amounts, reflecting good work of the Community Services Agency. The public economic assistance budget will be returning $1,217,432 in unused general fund mandate county match. For the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division, we've identified and it is recommended to increase revenue and appropriations by $150,000 due to increased enrollment and participation in the dental buyout program. It is also recommended that appropriations be increased by $20,000 to fund increased defense fees in the medical malpractice program funded by retained earnings. Addition is recommended to increase appropriations by $400,000 to fund increased medical and specialty medication costs in the workers' compensation program, and this is also funded by retained earnings. For the clerk recorder, it is recommended to fund the Election Division Campaign Fair Political Practices Commission and Form 700 Web Reporting System Project with $140,948 in technology innovation funding transferred from appropriations for contingencies. For the General Services Agency, an increase in appropriations is recommended for landscaping services, increased overtime and on-call costs, funding for a Modesto Junior College intern in facilities maintenance, the addition of computer workstations at each mechanics bay for fleet services, and an increase in materials inventory costs due to changes in patrol vehicle model styles. These adjustments will be funded by department revenue and retained earnings.
Sorry.
For strategic business technology. Technical little issue. All done. For SBT, it is recommended to restore one unfunded senior software developer analyst position to provide the department with a broader range of development capabilities. This position will provide support to address e-government initiatives to improve workflow in departments and create efficiencies through automation and paper reduction. The salary cost difference will be funded within the department's existing budget. And at this time, I will turn it over to Cynthia Tomlinson, who will take you through Healthy Community and finish up our mid-year report.
Good morning, Chairman Monteith, members of the board, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doering. I'm Cindy Tomlinson, Deputy Executive Officer, and it's my pleasure to finish up the presentation this morning. In a healthy community, an overall decrease of just over $93,000 in appropriations is recommended. In the Department of Aging and Veterans, it's recommended to increase appropriations and estimated revenue by $30,000 due to a small augmentation in baseline federal funding for Older American Act programs and a one-time funding augmentation from the California Department of Aging. These funds can be used for one-time operational costs such as equipment. Additionally, an increase in appropriations of $42,273 is recommended in the Veterans Division for retirement cash-outs for two employees. As previously mentioned, retirement cash-outs were not included in the department's budget as part of the 2015-16 zero-based budget process. In Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, it's recommended to increase appropriations up to $41,292 in fixed assets, funded from appropriations for contingencies, to fund the department's Technology Innovation Program project. This project is in partnership with the Health Services Agency, and it was described earlier by Patrick. In the Department of Child Support Services, an increase in estimated revenue and appropriations of $17,577 is recommended as a result of increased state allocations for electronic data processing and maintenance and operations funding. It's also recommended to transfer $166,000 in appropriations from salaries and benefits to fixed assets for a network infrastructure upgrade. An increase in bandwidth is needed to reduce slowdowns, errors, and connection timeouts and network failures. This upgrade will result in increased productivity. In the Community Services Agency, an increase in appropriations and estimated revenue of $6.6 million is recommended in the in-home supportive services provider wages budget. Due to provider wage impacts of 7% restoration of provider hours, overtime, and authorized transportation that was included in the state budget. The increase for the 7% restoration of authorized hours is projected at $4.7 million. The overtime is about $1.3 million, and the travel time is about $600,000. Due to the maintenance of effort that we have with the state, there is no impact to the county share. It's also recommended to increase appropriations and estimated revenue by $72,915 in the IHSS Public Authority Administration to support the redetermination of customer eligibility to legislated overtime and transportation services. Again, no impact to the county's general fund. Additionally, there's a small transfer from salaries to fixed assets to purchase a new forklift. This is an item that is used daily at the community services facility. As mentioned earlier, changes seen in the community services agency this fiscal year demonstrate an increase in families transitioning to self-sufficiency and fewer children requiring out-of-home placement to be safe in their homes. CalWORKs expenditures are trending 7.6% lower, indicating an increase in family self-sufficiency. The department's continued efforts to work with parents in developing both life and job skills are leading to higher levels of engagement, participation, and employment. This is really good news. The foster care and extended foster care expenditures are trending 14.7% lower than the previous year. The decline in foster care cases is linked to several initiatives, including focusing on placing children in relative placements, as well as reducing the reentry of children into the foster care system. These changes have resulted in a significant decrease for the need of county match funding. The department is projecting a reduced need of county match funds of $1.2 million, and those will be recommended to be returned to the Chief Executive Office mandated match budget. It's also recommended to add two new social work supervisor two positions to meet the state's mandate for child welfare services case record review. The reviews are necessary for the purpose of examining practices and ensuring conformity with Title 4E and Title 4B requirements. These positions will be funded with post-2011 realignment child welfare services allocations. Further, for the Community Services Agency, it's recommended to add four new social worker two block budgeted positions and two new social services assistants to support legislative changes in the In-Home Supportive Services Program related to the Fair Labor Standards Act. New recommendations became effective on October 13 of 2015. These positions will be funded by the California Department of Social Services. Excuse me. Moving on, in the Health Services Agency, it's recommended to add three new nursing assistant positions and one staff nurse three position to support the Family and Pediatric Health Center and the McHenry Medical Office. The department is expanding services to include family practice, OBGYN, family planning, and comprehensive perinatal services. The nursing assistants are requested to support two newly acquired family medicine physicians, ensure compliance with state regulations when administering injections and medications, and reduce delays in processing referrals to better provide overall patient care. The staff nurse three is requested to supervise, act as triage nurse, and support and oversee the new patient center medical home piloting in the spring of 2016. The additional salary costs will be funded by revenue generated from increased patient visits. It's also recommended to delete one vacant administrative clerk two position in admin and delete one vacant community health worker two position in clinics and ancillary. Additionally, it's recommended to restore one unfunded health educator position for the nutritional education and obesity program in the public health division. This position will take the place of duties previously performed by a personal services contractor. Overall, in county staffing, we began the year with 4,153 positions that were approved in the 2015-16 first quarter report. Two positions have been added through separate approved board items. With the recommendation of 16 additional positions at mid-year, the total authorized position count will be 4,171. The chart before you, we've continued to show an update. The line graph illustrates the total number of allocated positions at each final budget year since 2006-2007. The recommended 15-16 mid-year position allocation of 4,171 has been added to show the continued growth of positions since the 15-16 final budget. This is primarily due to mandated programs and the increased need to provide services. At this level, we are still 432 positions below the peak of 4,603 positions in July of 2007. In challenges and opportunities, the AB 900 Phase 2 project, which includes maximum security, mental health, and the county's companion project of intake, release, and administration, are over 70% complete. And I know I'm not doing a very good Patty imitation because she'd have you really excited about that back there. Substantial and final completion are expected in fall of 2016 and occupancy in 2017. That will be here like tomorrow. A separate board report will be presented soon to confirm a recommended plan to occupy, open, and operate the new facilities. In the Department of Child Support Services, they continue to experience flat funding from the state, which does not account for normal annual cost of business increases. The flat funding over a period of more than 10 years has continued to reduce staffing from a total of 242 to 162 allocated positions. Without increased funding from the state, the department's budget will not have the capacity to absorb increased costs for labor contracts, health insurance, and retirement without holding open additional staffing vacancies. Holding open these positions ultimately causes less families to be served and threatens the ability to increase collections dollars to families. So we're just going to continue to watch this and hope the state understands what they're doing. In 2015, a review of the GIS Central program was conducted, and as a result, it's recommended to transfer its function, staffing, and budget to the Strategic Business Technology Plan out of Public Works, effective July 1st, 2016. We will include this in the proposed budget. We believe that the county's Strategic Business Technology Department has the better help desk process in place that can make this a better system for internal users and on the county internet website for external users. On October 20th, 2015, the Board of Supervisors approved a rate increase for the medical self-insurance program of 1%, effective January 1st, 2016. This rate was lower than anticipated, as departments were originally advised to anticipate a health insurance cost of 8 to 10%. Again, really good news. We're doing very well with our self-insurance plan. Based on the ongoing positive financial performance of the medical self-insurance program and improved confidence in the long-term fiscal health of this program, budget staff have reduced future cost estimates for health insurance from the historical 8 to 10% down to a 3 to 5% in annual inflation. This reduction in projected annual cost increase will benefit long-range financial modeling for general fund and non-general fund departments. The county's retirement plan is currently one of the healthiest funded plans in the state at 87.5% funded using market value of assets. However, it is expected that retirement costs will continue to be a significant cost driver for the organization in the near future. The preliminary estimate of total county contribution cost increase is approximately $5.2 million for budget year 2016-2017, of which general fund increase is approximately $2.3 million. The board had previously approved funding for a dedicated focus on county security. A sheriff's lieutenant has been assigned to the Office of Emergency Services, fulfilling two roles, county security and OES law enforcement coordination, 50% each. The security program goals are to provide county facility assessments, assist with implementation and review of county security policies and procedures, provide employee training to improve awareness, and perform security incident assessments and investigations. The program is going really well. Our Lieutenant Cordova is doing a great job. The ongoing evaluation and assessment of safe and secure facilities is coordinated across departments and in some instances may result in the use of external expert consultants. Recommendations will be brought back to the Board of Supervisors as needed for authorization to implement widespread security enhancements throughout the county. As previously mentioned, there's good news in our social services program. These changes have resulted in a significant decrease in needed county funding, so those discretionary dollars can be used for other purposes in your priority areas. The state budget continues to be very strong. The governor released his 2016-27 proposed budget to the legislature on January 9, 2016. The budget includes $122.6 billion in general fund spending, up $6 billion from the previous year. The total state budget is $170.7 billion, which includes special funds and bonds. The governor's proposal would add $2 billion into the rainy day fund for a total of $8 billion by June of 2017. This boosts the balance, which is currently 37% of its constitutional target, up to 65% of the target. $2 billion was also shifted in debt payments. The Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act will change the way federally funded services are delivered to the public by Alliance WorkNet. The Alliance WorkNet currently provides youth, adult, and business services and operates the one-stop career centers. Pursuant to this new act, the services must be procured through a competitive process by July 1st, 2016 for business services and by July 1st, 2017 for youth and adult services and one-stop career center operations. Additionally, the county's current relationship with the Stanislaus Business Alliance and Workforce Development Board will be impacted as the new law requires these organizations to be distinct and separate entities. We're coming up on the home stretch, almost done. The mid-year financial report shows the county is balanced and actual performance is tracking well with the 2015-2016 operating budget and year-end projections. Staff will continue to monitor the 15-16 budget operations and will be prepared to make any final recommendations and recommendations for change to the Board of Supervisors at the third quarter financial report, which is scheduled for May 3rd, 2016. At mid-year, we're pleased to recommend the kickoff of the Technology Innovation Program as discussed by Patrick earlier and continued support for public safety restoration. We're proud of the good work being done every day through our department programs and services and in collaboration with our many community partners. We'll provide another update in the third quarter financial report as just mentioned. Once approved, the county's mid-year financial report can be accessed on the county's website at www.stancounty.com/budget. There are five staff recommendations before you, and I'm going to try to summarize them quickly. The first would be to accept the mid-year report for fiscal year 2015-2016, authorize the chief executive officer and auditor controller to make the necessary adjustments as recommended. By a 4/5 vote, authorize the use of $2.7 million in appropriations for contingencies as recommended in the financial report. Amend the salary and position allocation resolution to reflect the recommendations included in the mid-year financial report to be effective at the start of the first full pay period beginning on or after March 19, 2016, unless otherwise noted. And finally, approve the contracts as listed on Attachment C. That concludes our mid-year presentation. Again, we would like to thank each and every member of the Chief Executive Office budget team, along with the county's department heads and their leadership teams, for their commitment to fiscal accountability and public service. We are here as a team this morning and are happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any member of the board have any questions or comment?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go back to part of Patrick's presentation. I want to talk a little bit about the Technology Innovation Program. Just want to congratulate all the departments who submitted a program, and want to also send that congratulations down to the employees who dreamed up these projects. It's a good start. I'm very excited to see these projects, and maybe once they're up and running, maybe the board can come out and see it, or maybe we can bring in those employees to recognize them, pick one of them, the highlight. Just so we can give the recognition to the employees who came up with these programs. As the next round of funding goes out, I'd like to challenge a little bit more to see if we can get more of the out-of-line onto online, get our constituents to use our website a little bit more, which will help productivity not only the departments, make it easier for people working and interacting with county government. So great job. I just want to congratulate all those departments and really, if you can pass that down to the staff that dreamed up the projects. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to make comment?
I would like to make a comment. First of all, I want to thank staff for a very thorough budget review and update. I know there's a tremendous amount of work that goes into that. It certainly shows in the presentation. It was very well done. The only one I had a question about was the child support services, which the staffing level keeps going down because we're not receiving the funding, I guess. And I'm not sure what the problem is there. It's a federal program that I understand the money goes to the state, and it kind of drifts down to us. But this program, generates $3.50 for every dollar that's spent. And I see the positions keep getting eliminated there, so I don't know if they can say what the problem is there.
Any
It's one of our more efficient departments, too, and I just don't understand why the funding either stays flat or decreases.
Good morning. Tamara Thomas, Department Head for the Department of Child Support Services. I feel your pain, Jim. The Department of Child Support Services has remained flat since they were, the department has been created, quite frankly, and removed from the District Attorney's Office. We have been in robust conversation with our State Department related to the allocation issues. There are two issues surrounding that allocation. One, the equal distribution of the allocation amongst the various county departments. There's inequity there. So we're reviewing that with the state. We're also asking the state to discuss with the Department of Finance opportunities to receive more funding.
Well, this really all comes from the federal government, doesn't it? It flows to the state first.
66% comes from the federal government. That is passed through. A portion of it stays at the state level for administrative oversight, and then the remaining dollars come down to the locals. 34% under that same structure is provided by the state.
Okay. I know you do a good job there.
I
appreciate
that.
Do you have any updates on the grant that you got from the federal government?
I do. What portion of the update would you like? We have 1,100 non-custodial parents currently enrolled in the program, which is very exciting for us. We're shooting for 1,500. Enrollment ends this October. We are seeing quite a bit of anecdotal success with these individuals. We have some fabulous testimonies from non-custodial parents, some who have never paid in 17 years, who are now starting to interact with their children on an emotional level, as well as provide support to them financially. So we're seeing tremendous success with those individuals who have been selected for the program. We appreciate the partnerships we have with the two agencies who are providing parenting classes for those individuals, as well as the employment services end of things through our Alliance WorkNet. So it's going very well.
Yeah, it looks like a good program. It's to provide employment, at least to help non-custodial parents get jobs, and so they can start paying.
That's correct.
In your estimation, how many positions you feel you're short in that to really do the adequate job?
Well, you know, we have done a tremendous job of assessing what we could do from an automation perspective, having lost 80 employees. We think we've capped our limit on those innovation ideas related to automation, and it really comes down to having staff who can reach out to those non-custodial parents and make a handshake with them to encourage them to get involved in their child's life. That requires a phone call. That requires personal contact. That requires a relationship with their caseworker. Honestly, we could start with 20 new staff members, to be quite honest with you. Start there. If I had the funding to do that, caseload sizes right now are about 1,200 per case officer. So every month we're monitoring those 1,200 cases and the realities of being able to do that with a 1,200 size caseload are virtually impossible. So we're missing some folks. If I had an additional 20 caseworkers and the funding to be able to support that, it would reduce the caseload sizes to about 900 per officer and give a much better opportunity for people to be contacted.
Okay, thank you.
Maybe if I could make one comment and then one question for you, Ms. Thomas.
Sure.
First of all, this is a federal-state program that's never involved any county dollars, so we operate a federal or state program on their behalf. Has the federal funding been flat all these years, or is it getting bottled up at the state level?
You know, those are figures that we don't get an opportunity, quite frankly, to see. California competes for those federal dollars based on their performance with all other states. And so depending on our performance statewide in California, that determines how much money California gets. Then California gets to spread those dollars to the locals. How much is being spent at the state for oversight and administration? Those dollars aren't necessarily, that information is not necessarily handed down to the local directors. I can try to get that information for you if you would like. I am assuming that with the statewide automation system, much of any increases probably has been directed to those automation efforts since 2007 to enhance that program. But if you'd like, I can try and get the specifics behind that as to how much federal dollars has been coming into the state since 2007, if that would be helpful.
I think that would be helpful so we would know where to focus our lobbying efforts, whether at the federal level or at the state level, or perhaps both.
Yeah. That's correct. And you raise a good point that this program has historically always been a state and federally funded agency. I will call out that there are several, a handful, 5 to 6 counties where they are starting to ask for general fund assistance and receive that general fund assistance through the county share of cost recoupment effort. So right now, anything that we recoup in child support that has previously been paid out for welfare assistance and goes back into the county opportunity to recoup those dollars has been provided to CSA for a match opportunity. I will call out that I believe their match is 1-to-1. Child support can take that 2.5% sharing ratio and match it 2-to-1. So there's an opportunity there for us to start looking at that county share of cost if that is something the board would like me to do. I can provide you with some information on how other counties are doing that. And what the long-term benefits to both CSA and child support might be if we took a look at that. Any other questions?
No, that's all I have.
Any other question?
Supervisor Chiesa, go ahead.
Thank you. What a great story we have to tell right now. This is in my in all of my time. I think that Supervisor Withrow and I started out in the worst times, and we've hit the feel like we've hit the lotto right now. And knowing that's really not the case in all reality, and actually, Tamara, this isn't for you. This is just a general comment. So if you want to sit down, you don't have to sit down. You can stay there.
No other child support questions. I'm happy to sit down.
No.
Thank you.
But I've always said it that good budgets get better, bad budgets get worse, and it's pretty indicative of what we talked about. Realignment growth, which is usually sales tax based, outpaces the cost of the program, so money actually comes back to us. And that wasn't the case back in 2009. We were taking general fund money, we're plowing it into these programs. It releases up teeter monies that we have available to us. People are employed, so there's lower rolls and community service agency, and it just kind of rolls throughout the whole economy. And that is a good thing, and that's the story we have to tell right now today. And looking back, what did we do with those savings? You know, we've hit this, and there's also negative bailout. We haven't even talked about that, but all this money is coming in. What have we done? We've paid down debt. Built buildings like the coroner's facility. We're doing some infrastructure upgrades. The innovation. I can't wait to see these programs because these are things that we haven't had the money to do. We know they were necessary, but we just haven't had the money to do it. And then we look at public safety restoration and also the retirement board. Supervisor DeMartini's on there. We're 87.5% funded. I know that's not 100%, but that is really, really good. So we've made some really strong gains over these past few years. Our reserves, we're starting to put some more money back into our reserves that someone gave me, you know, the previous boards left us to help us through these economic times, so it's an obligation. But what we've done is, I look at it as we rebalance government, we have a new base, and we're starting to build on that new base, which isn't the way it was before. This is about sustainability long-term for us. I'm very pleased. 13 years in a row, budget awards to you guys, hats off. When I look at our long-term budgeting model, when we look at public safety restorations, $2, $4, $6, $8 million every year, we're looking at that. Can we get to the $8 million? I don't know if we can, but hopefully we can. The economy, Stan will always throw down, what is the average length of an economic recovery?
6 years.
6 years. And what year are we in?
We're in year seven.
We're year seven. So that, again, the mentality is that, you know, maybe times aren't going to be that good. So we're always cautious, but looking forward to doing some fantastic things. Fund balance is the net county savings is starting to drop, as everyone can see. At some point, we're going to hit that point of no return there. So I'm just going to preach caution, but these are exciting times. I hope people walk away from here saying the county's done a good job. We have a great story to tell, and I'm excited about the future.
Supervisor Withrow?
I shouldn't let you go first because you said everything I was going to say. But couple of things with Tamara when she was up there. And the thing I want to kind of look at real quick is we talked about the foster care caseload reduction. And I don't know, maybe Kathy even can you talk just a little bit about what's going on there? Because I think it has unbelievable kind of repercussions throughout our system here. And it kind of goes back to our whole focus on prevention is what I kind of...
Good morning. Thank you very much. We're really pleased to see the reductions in both our CalWORKs caseload as well as our foster care caseloads. In the CalWORKs, we put a lot of emphasis on looking at providing our parents with a soft skill training as well as employment training through subsidized employment, and that's leading to full-time employment for them. In our foster care program, we're really focusing on looking at the lowest level of placement for our children. So really providing resources to the families to support them so that the children can remain safely in the home of the parent. As well as we're doing a lot of efforts, you'll be seeing a board item coming before you in the next couple weeks on resource family approval. It's a new recruitment process to work with and streamline the recruitment processing and licensing of foster homes. And again, looking at the lowest level of placement for children and returning them as quickly as possible in a safely manner to their parents. So a lot of emphasis in that. We've had a lot of support from you in providing additional services to parents.
Okay. You know, I just think that's great. And we have so many good things. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks.
Just different. So many good things in this budget are just unbelievable. Like Supervisor Chiesa said, that you know, this is just, it is like hitting a lottery compared to when we first started here, whatever, for me 5 years ago. So, but as I look at this, this is a thing that I think this is the area that we're really trying to get to in our whole focus on prevention. And I always kind of like to go back to this, but the savings that are happening there are going to work their way through our system, all the way through all our different programs that we have, through our, you know, child protective services, and then in our juvenile detention system, and our DA's office is affected, just like the thing we always talk about, probation, sheriff, the whole thing. Is just, if we can catch these kids early, and to see that starting to happen there, besides all the great things that we have going with our budget and the way our economy's been and everything good that's happening, to see these kind of things start to happen with us kind of working towards it with our kids and focusing on prevention, the dividends that's going to pay will help these type of years like we're having here this year continue to happen. It'll free up so much in funds for us here. I have a thing that I this year during tax season, I always have like a story during tax season I tell all my clients as they come in. And the constant question I have from my clients is, well, how do I save taxes? How do I reduce my tax bill? And so, you know, and there's just the standard stuff that we go through as accountants. It's boring, I know. We just, you know, you put more money in your retirement plan, you know, all these different things that we talk about. But this year, I'm telling everybody, you know, I've made a living the last 30 years on avoiding taxes, not evading taxes, avoiding taxes. And so this year, I'm saying, if you really want to do something to help reduce your taxes, start working with the kids in your neighborhood. Start getting involved with children and various in your communities, because the dividends that you're going to see from that are going to naturally reduce your taxes. There won't be a need for so much in taxes that we pay every year. If we can take away 75% of what our budget goes towards here, it's a long-term return. They're not going to see instant results on their tax return next year, but it is something that that's been my comment this year, really getting involved in focusing on prevention in your neighborhoods, your communities. So when I saw this year, I thought this is great. Things are starting to happen here. This is what we want to happen. Otherwise, just to finish up here, our predecessors here on the Board of Supervisors have done a great work. All our department heads, you guys are doing unbelievable work to have gotten us through the hard times that we got through, and to now be in this position. It's all as a result of everything you guys have done. So I just want to thank all of you for all your efforts. And our CEO staff and Stan and all of you guys here, it's amazing how where we've been and where we've come to. And again, it's going to come up again. We're going to get back into the mess that we were in before. That'll just happen. And part of what we're doing here is not just do the happy dance and celebrate. It's to start to put money away to replenish those reserves that we've drawn from to get ready for the next recession as it comes. So. Anyway, all of you need to be thanked for all that you've done, because it's helped us get through this, And we will be back in the mess again, and we're going to get ready for that again. But I just want to thank you, and this is great news. So thank you guys for all you've done.
Any other comments or questions? If not, I'll now open it to the public, and if anyone of the member of the audience desires to address the board on this issue, now is your time to speak if you have any concerns or questions. If not, I'll bring it back to the board, and or any comments or time for decision.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to make one other comment there, and this is not in the budget especially, but there is not addressed in the budget is really, I think, a need for a master gardener position at some time, certainly not this budget, but in the future it should be considered to work with UC Extension. We don't have that position anymore, and there are a lot of calls coming in now for people who want information on things like gardening and drought-tolerant landscaping, and the position is not there anymore at the UC Extension. We have the former department head coming in, you know, volunteering one day a week right now, but with the emphasis on water reduction and landscapes and just a general gardening, the county of this size and with the agricultural base that we have, there's nobody in that position. So I would just like to say we should probably think about that in future budgets of creating that position.
Any other comments?
Motion to approve all five staff recommendations.
Do we have a second?
I will second that.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Passed.
I just correct something for the record. I got thinking I answered too quickly Vito's question about recovery periods. I think the average is actually only of 4 to 5 years. There's been 13 recoveries since the Great Depression. We are in the second, I believe, longest recovery period since that period.
Well, then we'll now go to correspondence.
This board has received the annual notice from the East Side Mosquito Abatement District regarding the application of pesticides within the district boundaries to reduce the risk to the public from mosquito-borne diseases such as the West Nile virus.
Acknowledge the receipt of the notice.
This board has received two letters from the State Fish and Game regarding proposed regulatory action relating to the waterfowl and mammal regulations for the 2016-2017 seasons.
Referred to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Okay. Acknowledge receipt of claim and referred to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. At this time, we have any board reports? Anyone?
I'm just going to thank Liz and Pam for their first official day here on the job. Great job. What a great meeting you did. Good
it's
job.
It's our first PC meeting post-Christine.
That's right. Thank you, guys.
I wanted to acknowledge that we had a long time someone in the Ag Commissioner's office, Joe Duchla, who just retired last Friday, and after, and he's going to be a stay-at-home dad, which is awesome. And so I went out there for a little party they had. I know he already retired. We always do this afterwards. Just wanted to congratulate him.
Any other comments? If not, we'll go to the Legislative Fiscal Management Report.
Jerry stole my thunder, so no report.
No report? Well, at that case, this meeting is adjourned. Okay.